Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I'm grateful and pleased and so overjoyed that you are again with us on this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are going to conclude our second point with this wonderful teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. And Brother Harold and I have been walking through the scriptures with you as the Holy Spirit reveals to us and leads us through passages and verses in the Bible that teach us and show us that we have been divinely made up of a human spirit, of a soul, human soul, and a human body. And Brother Harold put it so beautifully that the body is the earth suit while we are here on earth that houses the soul and the human spirit. And he talked about on our last broadcast on how the spirit man, lowercase S-P-I-R-T, is regenerated or born again or made to come alive through acceptance of Jesus Christ by way of salvation, confession, surrendering to our Lord and Savior, and a willingness to want to be saved. And of course, that is receiving of the Holy Spirit by way of salvation. And we receive the Holy Spirit, and he sets us in the throne room of our heart, if you will, or if you look at it from a deeper perspective in the way that Minister Harold brought it to us so beautifully, and he laid the track out and broke it down in such a wonderful way for us to come to know that we are spirit-filled, or we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit living inside of us when we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And the second point of this wonderful teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer, is walking in the Spirit. And so I'm going to conclude this particular point. And so I want to read a verse according to Galatians, and it says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let me reread that again. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And this is according to Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And we will be focusing in on that passage today, concluding the second point, walking in the Spirit. Scripture tells us that the two rage war against each other, which it can be challenging for some believers. But it also says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. So when we fall prey, and that's P-R-E-Y, when we fall prey to the desires of the flesh, the consequences are very clear. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. So keep that in mind. When you fall prey to the desires of the flesh, the consequences are you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we'll look at that as we move through today's focus in Galatians 5. Walking in the Spirit shows love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Most of us know this to be as the fruit of the Spirit. So when we're walking in the Spirit, this is what should be the inward fruit coming outward. So get your Bible, get your pens and paper to write with, and just to take some notes that will show us how the fruit of the Spirit, it's in us. And the scriptures will show us how it is to come out of us. So let's just stop right now and just pray before we start into our lesson today. Heavenly Father, I just exalt you. I thank you for allowing this day to be where it is, at this very hour. Lord, we come ready, willing, and able to eat of the richness of your word by way of the Holy Spirit revealing rich nuggets to us that we could take away and shape our lives, to renew our minds, and to set us apart and live holy, sanctified believers in Christ Jesus. Create in us a renewed mind, the right spirit, and revive us today, Lord. We need an awakening. We need to be restored, Lord God. And I ask in the name of Jesus that you would do a new thing within the body of Christ, that we would be on fire to tell the world about the light of the world. Lord, I bless you and I praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me. So now let's just dive right into our lesson. And keep in mind, the focus is going to be on the fruit of the Spirit. And the focus is Galatians chapter 5. So I thank God for the beautiful work that he used, Brother Harold, Minister Harold, in laying out the foundation of the Spirit within us. Now we're going to see how the Spirit that is within us gets worked through us and out of us. So if we're filled with the Spirit, why do we struggle from time to time? We are being perfected. Not that we're perfect. We are in the process of transformation, day to day, in the image or into the image of the glory of the Lord. So it's a process. We're a work in process. We are in the process of transformation day to day into the image of the glory of the Lord. And Minister Harold brought that out on our last broadcast. These times we sin because of anger. Some of us struggle with lust, pride, covetousness, and some of us struggle with hatred, just to name a few. at times we choose to not yield the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a choice. Doesn't mean you're not Spirit-filled. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It means that we have chosen to disobey or ignore the Holy Spirit or yield the Holy Spirit. We've chosen to yield our own desire. The Spirit gives us the ability to conquer the giant of sin in our life. Just like Israel. Now remember, Israel entered the promised land. 10 spies saw the giants in the land and feared them. Now 12 went in there, but 10 of them feared the giant. But 2 spies, and we know them to be Caleb and Joshua, saw the same giant. Now, isn't that interesting how the majority focused on the problem, but the minority focused on the provision, the provider. And those were, and the two were Caleb and Joshua. Now, think about yourself. When we have giants that rise up in our life, a struggle, a disappointment, a mishap, a situation, and we focus on that giant, we're giving Satan the opportunity to laugh at us, if you will. And I'm talking about the believers in Christ Jesus. When we focus on the problem, just imagine Satan sitting aside laughing at us because we are in dismay. We are worrying ourselves to death, literally. We are not giving the kind of attention and the focus where we need it to be. And, of course, that's Christ. So let's look at the giant, how Joshua and Caleb saw the same giant as the ten, but knew the Lord was able. Those two men knew the Lord was able to conquer any giant that came against Israel, that came against them. God made a promise to the Israelites when he pulled them out, led them out of Egypt. He gave them a promise. God gave you a promise. God gave us a promise. And he said that he will give them the promised land, the land of milk and honey. They walked by faith. They walked in faith. Talking about the two, the minority, Caleb and Joshua, walked in faith. And they were the only two allowed to enter the promised land. And you can read more about this in Numbers 14, verses 29 and 30. But I would encourage you to read the complete chapter on how God only allowed those two. He didn't even allow Moses to go into the land of milk and honey, the land of promise. Only Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they walked in faith. None of the others that came out of Egypt, 20 years old and older, none of them were allowed to go into the promised land. They all died. We are at war with the flesh. We have the choice. We have the choice to yield the flesh or yield the spirit. Now, the choice is ours. God is not going to force anything on us. He created us with a soul. A soul is made of three parts. And Minister Harold beautifully laid the pattern out of how the soul is created, with a mind to think, a will to choose, and our emotions. And he said we can even throw in our conscience. But those parts make up the human soul. So God's not going to force anything on us. He loved us enough to give us a will. And he loved us enough to give us a human spirit, to where he can enter in and commingle with us, meaning set up, live inside of our heart or the innermost part of our being. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit now, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, listen to this, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Some of us have struggled with that, if not have committed adultery. Fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, or contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, self-ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is coming straight out of Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. And just for the benefit of the listeners, I want to reread these particular verses in the New Living Translation. Galatians 5, verse 17 through 21. And I'm going to reread it in the New Living Translation. This is one of my favorite translations in order to study God's Word. King James, New King James, New International Version, and the New Living Translation. And I encourage you to get a parallel Bible so that you can deepen your understanding of God's Word. So let's look at this in the 16th verse, and I'm going to start there, Galatians chapter 5. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So these are cravings. And even though we are spirit-filled, and even though we are saved by God's amazing grace, and we are heaven-bound, we still have war against the flesh. Listen to 17 in the New Living Translation. And it says, the old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, constantly. And your choices are never free from this conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, or let's put it this way, when you yield the Holy Spirit, when you obey the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. Now, looking at verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results. Now, this is what your life will produce: sexual immorality, impure thoughts. And how many of us have struggled with impure thoughts? How many of us have struggled with sexual immorality? Eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, division, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild party, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this isn't a joke. This isn't maybe. This is a promise that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to stop at verse 21, and we'll pick back up with 22 and further. But I want to stop here. So now remember, Caleb and Joshua were the only two that were able to go into the land of promise. Now, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Israel was allowed to enter the promised land led by Joshua. After defeating the city of Jericho, Israel was defeated by Ai. Why were they defeated by Ai? The Amorites. Why were they defeated by them? Because the disobedience of one man's disobedience caused the Israelites to be defeated. And that man was Achan, A-C-H-A-N, who willfully disobeyed God's command. And because of that, Israel could not stand against that army. Joshua mourned the defeat. God, however, told Joshua to get up and deal with the sin committed by Israel. In the same way, like Joshua, in the same way, the Holy Spirit gives us the cannot mourn our sins. We need to act. We have the power. And let's go to the verse in the passage of Joshua chapter 7, and let's look at that in vivid color, starting at verse 4. So if you will, open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7, and I'm going to read through verse 4. Now, again, I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, but you follow along because I love the way the New Living Translation brings out such vividness and color and paints a beautiful picture for us to understand what Israel had done as to why they could not defeat this particular army. So follow along with me or read with me as I start in Joshua chapter 7, verse 4. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the quarry. They were killed, about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear. There goes fear. They were paralyzed with fear. Talking about the Israelites and why they could not defeat this particular army. So they were paralyzed with fear at this turn of the event, and their courage melted away. So think about this. When we come up against a situation, whether it being traumatic, whether it being devastated, whether it being pressure, whether it be whatever it may be in your situation, in your life, it will plant fear. And it would melt certain things away, such as your courage, to stand against, to stand firm, to trust and obey, to believe, to don't sway to the left and the right. Don't worry. Let's keep reading verse 6 in Joshua 7. So Joshua and the leaders of Israel tore their clothes in dismay. So here goes the whole camp, afraid, fearful. So they tore their clothes in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed down facing the ark of the Lord until evening. Then Joshua cried out to the sovereign Lord, "Why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you were going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side." Verse 8, "Lord, what am I to say now that Israel has fled from its enemies? For when the Canaanites and all the other people living in the land hear about it, they will surround us and wipe us off the face of the earth. And then what will happen to the honor of your great name?" Now this is Joshua crying out to God about a situation, what he saw, and wondering, tearing his clothes, throwing dust on his head, why could we not defeat them? Why? And God, in verse 10, said to Joshua, "Get up. Why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen the things that I commanded to be set apart from me. And they have not only stolen them, they have also lied about it and hidden the things among their belongings. That is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. For now, Israel has been set apart for destruction. I will not remain with you any longer unless, now listen to what he says, unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart for destruction. Now think about that in your life. Why aren't you receiving the blessings that God wants us to have? It's because we want to continue to hold tight to the things of the world, the things that were mentioned in Galatians 5, uncleanness, adultery, idolatry, hatred, envy, jealousy, lies. We want to hold on to the things that the flesh desires. And God was very clear. He said, I will not remain with you any longer unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart for destruction. Verse 13, get up, he said again. Get up, Joshua. Now I could just hear God telling us, get up. Get up out of your pity party. Stop doing with what you seem to desire or have a lustful way of doing, satisfying your flesh, talking too much, running your mouth, gossiping, stealing, undercutting, condescending conversation, saying things that you shouldn't be saying. God said, stop it. Told Joshua, get up. Command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things. You will not be bountifully, abundantly blessed until you stop doing what you crave. The Holy Spirit is working on the inside to purify us, renewing us with the right spirit. And that is bringing the soul in conformity to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. So that the fruit of the Spirit would work in you and through you. Verse 14, in the morning you must present yourselves by tribes, and the Lord will point out the tribe to which the guilty man belongs. Now God's going to show Joshua who the guilty person or persons are. He's going to reveal it. Now, isn't that the beautiful work of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit will reveal to us the dirtiness, the nastiness that is within inside us that we want to still hold on to. God says, stop it and allow him to work in you that his beauty will come through you. We call that transformation. That's what that's called, transformation. The tribe must come forward with its clans, and the Lord will point out the guilty clan. And so that clan will then come forward, and the Lord will point out the guilty family. Finally, each member of the guilty family must come one by one. Now look at God, cleaning house. Each one, family by family, stand and be confronted. Each one of us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are held accountable for what the flesh continues to crave. The one who has stolen what was set apart for destruction will himself be burned with fire along with everything he has, for he has broken the covenant of the Lord and has done a horrible thing in Israel. And we know this person to be Achan. He was the one that lied, he stole, and although he confessed it in verse 20, and we're going to drop down to there, starting at verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, and God, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling the truth." Basically, begging him and urging him and confronting him. "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me." Achan replied in verse 20, "I have sinned against the Lord and the God of Israel, for I saw a beautiful robe imported from Babylon, 200 silver coins, and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent, with the silver buried deeper than the rest." So Joshua sent some men to make a search. They ran to the tent, found the stolen goods hidden there, just as Achan had said, with the silver buried beneath the rest. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites. Then they laid them on the ground in the presence of the Lord. Verse 24, then Joshua and all the Israelites took Achan, the silver, the robe, and the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, cattle, donkeys, sheep, tent, and everything he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. Then Joshua said to Achan, "Why have you brought trouble on us? The Lord will now bring trouble on you." And all the Israelites stoned Achan and his family and burned their bodies. Now, I'm going to stop there at verse 25. But the consequences of our wrong can have devastating effects on our life if we don't stop, if we don't confess, if we don't ask for forgiveness, if we continue in the craving of the flesh. the consequences of Achan's wrong brought total devastation on his whole family. So through prayer and spiritual weapons, and these spiritual weapons are the fruit of the Spirit, we have the power of the Spirit to overcome those areas in our life. We just read the passage concerning Achan. But those areas in our life, we have the power of the Spirit to overcome them, which prevent us from the fullness of God's Spirit. It hinders our blessings. By developing a spiritual battle plan, we can overcome the strongholds in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we overcome drunkenness? How do we overcome drug addiction? How do we overcome gossip? How do we overcome the lusts of the flesh? Those strongholds that rob us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Since we reflect the glory of the Lord, we do reflect the glory of the Lord. We are being made into His image. The Holy Spirit now gives us the ability to reach out to the lost in this dark world we live in. The Holy Spirit. Jesus came from heaven to the earth to save the lost. Like Christ, we are to reach the lost and the hurting of this world. This is our work. As a believer in Christ Jesus, we are to reach the lost and the hurting. Jesus came to seek and save. And if you're saved, He seeked you out and you surrendered to Him through salvation. Now, allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. We are to reach the lost and the hurting in this dark world. Or as my mentor put it, in the closing days of grace. So the Holy Spirit will give us the power to accomplish the Lord's work beyond our abilities if we yield to His power. And that's a big if, I like to say. Because when you are yielding the flesh, then you don't have any ability. But when we are yielding the Holy Spirit, then we have His power. Some of us may have heard grieve the Spirit, or grieving the Holy Spirit, or quenching the Holy Spirit. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, we are in total disobedience of God. We disobey the Holy Spirit. It grieves God. Disobedience brings about consequences. And we read that in chapter 7 of Joshua. We read what happened to Achan, and even what happened to the Israelites. They could not defeat this particular army. And they've been winning battle after battle after battle. And now, because of one man in the camp, in the clan, who chose to satisfy his flesh, and that is to steal and lie. He brought consequences on the whole camp, Israelites, and he brought devastating consequences on himself and his children and his cattle. So since we reflect the glory of the Lord, we are being made into his image. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to reach out to the lost world. Jesus came from heaven to earth to save the lost. We are to reach out and do the same. And how do we do that? By way of the Holy Spirit. Through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will give us the power to accomplish the Lord's work beyond our ability if we yield the Holy Spirit. We are all unique individual souls. Each one of us have a purpose and a plan and a part of God's eternal plan. When we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit is the down payment or the guarantee of our redemption. And we'll read that in Ephesians 1, 14. So let's look at what Ephesians 1, 14 says. Ephesians 1, verse 14. And I'll read this in the NIV translation. It says this, and I'm going to back up to 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. What is that seal? The seal, that seal is the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. When we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit is the down payment or the guarantee of our redemption. The Holy Spirit also equips us, the believer, giving each of us our own gifts. Our own gifts, so we can accomplish what? We can accomplish the Lord's work. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. Now, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I read verses 3 through 5, but I want to back it up and read chapter 12, starting at verse 1 and reading through verse 12. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read this verse 1 through 12, and this is in the New Living Translation, and you follow along or read along with me. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagan, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. Speechless idols are lowercase G-O-D, lowercase G-O-D-S, little gods that were made by man's hand. They don't speak. They have no life. Verse 3, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-T, is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To the other, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and the other, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Verse 10, he gives the person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And that's lowercase S-P-I-R-T. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Verse 11, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And we're going to stop at verse 11 instead of 12. But I love what verse 11 says. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, this is just revealing how uniquely each individual soul has a purpose and a plan. And we are a part of God's eternal plan. So the Holy Spirit also equips the believer, giving each one of us our own gift so we can accomplish the Lord's work. Now, this is what it's about, accomplishing the Lord's work in the vineyard, that we share our testimony, that we share how God has brought us or delivered us from drug addiction, from alcoholism, from physical abuse, from a life of robbery or a life of lying, from a life of adultery or even a life of sexual immorality. God has delivered us from something because of our sinful nature. The power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit allow us to accomplish more than we would ever be able in the flesh. Now, this is the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. While the world looks at titles and pedigrees, if you will, or titles and prestige, material things, accomplishments, accolades, while the world looks at this, the Spirit looks at the heart. And to God be the glory, He does. Searching our real intent. So you better be in check with yourself, meaning be in check with the Holy Spirit that lives inside yourself, making sure that your intentions are real, are loving, are tender, are kind, an intention of love, an intention of joy, peace, an intention of kindness and goodness, an intention of self-control. These are fruit of the Spirit. When we are sincere and pure before the Lord, we can walk in the power of the Lord. And that's what this last point that Brother Harold and I wanted to reveal, that the body has a spirit. And when we are in one with the Holy Spirit, God Himself living inside of us, sitting on the throne of our hearts, where the two become one, co-mingling together, that the fruit that has been deposited or placed in us is being worked in us, that it would come through us, that the world would see the fruit coming through us, that they would come into Him, capital H-I-M, that they too will have a right to the tree of life. And of course, that is accepting salvation in the pardoning of their sins. And so when we look at the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, against such things there is no law, according to Galatians chapter 5, and this is verses 22 and 23. When we see these fruit being shaped, formed in us and shaped and molded, that they would come through us, that the person who used to know you as the cussing fool that you were, or as the liar that you were, the cheat that you were, or the abusive man or woman that you were, when they can see you brand new, that you have put away those old things, and now you have allowed the Holy Spirit to bring out the beauty of His love, the beauty of His joy and peace and patience, then one can say to you, wow, you have been changed. I used to run with you. I used to party with you. I used to drink with you. But you are different. And when we walk in this newness of life, God is well pleased because you have surrendered the craving of the flesh. Yes, it will still be a challenge from time to time. But when you stand firm on the promises of God through His Word, and you read the Word daily, and you get into a small group Bible study, or a discipleship, or a Sunday school class, a Bible teaching church, and you allow yourself to be grown from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word, and become ready for God to use you in the vineyard for the work that He has for you, to where He will reveal your purpose and plan. Remember, Joshua had his, and that was to take control, take over the promised land, Canaan, the land of milk and honey. And yes, he was fearful. He had to keep being encouraged to not cower back, stand firm, man up. And we have the same challenge from time to time. But God, His promises are strong, His weapon is sure, and His Word never changes. Always remember that the grass withers and the flowers, they fade away season after season. But the Word of God will remain forever and ever. I thank you for your faithfulness to Mission from the Heart Radio, and I pray that you continue to grow and go in grace, and know that the Holy Spirit will reveal the beauty of Him in and through you. Remain blessed.